that we should be called the children of God. Now are we the children of God. Thank you. And it does not appear what we shall be, but we know when he appears, we're going to be like him, for we'll see him as he is. John also writes, as he is, so are we in this world. That's amazing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Over in Luke chapter 2, we're going to Luke 7 in a moment, but I need to kind of lay a foundation for you. As usual, the Lord sometimes gives me an ocean to put in a thimble. When you open that Bible, the devil gets nervous because it tells about his judgment. He's more afraid of us than we are of him. And when you look at Luke chapter 2, Luke gives us an account of his parents are on their way to the Passover. Mary and Joseph and young Jesus. He's 12 years old. And on their way back, they go a day's journey. And they don't even realize he's not with them, thinking he's with some friends or with some other pilgrims. When they discover Jesus is missing, they turn around and go back to Jerusalem. Guess where they find him? He's in the temple. He's sitting asking questions of the doctors and lawyers, is what the scripture says, but it's religious, the elders. But he's also given them answers, and he has fascinated them with his wisdom. Mary comes and scolds him. Mama, you'd probably do the same thing. Why'd you do that to us? Don't you know we've been worried about you? He's 12 years old. Now think about this. At 12, the Jewish people, the sons would be called the sons of the law. When you think about 12, you find it over and over in the scripture. Because Jesus had 12 disciples. We know there are 12 cycles in a year. We know that there are also 24 elders, 12 times 2. And there's so much about the 12. There are 12 patriarchs. There's 12 tribes. And this is a picture of 12. It means that he has come in perfect alignment with his Father's will. Because he said, didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? He had come in perfect alignment with his Father's will. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit has taught me to pray anymore this prayer, not only for myself, and it's okay. It doesn't deplete God's supply if you pray for yourself. It's not selfish. It's a reality. I pray, Holy Spirit, unravel anything in me that is a belief that's contrary to the will of the Father. I want to fully align myself with the knowledge of his will. Paul even tells us about a prayer in Ephesians chapter 1:17. He said, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray that you be filled with all spiritual wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what is the exceeding riches of his grace in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. What's he doing there? Hebrews 7:25. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for us. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that's named, not only in this world, but in the world to come. And given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. When you think about Jesus at 12, he's already about his Father's business. It would be 18 years now before his ministry would be launched, because the Bible said he returned home with Mary and Joseph. He was obedient because he knew, honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you and that your days may be long on the earth.
Amen.
Doesn't mean you can, you approve of, if you don't have to approve of everything that they do. My parents weren't perfect, but they were precious, and they were a gift to me.
Yes.
And I honored them.
Yes.
And when you think about Jesus, he's obedient, he's following, and 18 years later, he's launched into ministry. The first time we see him. Now, if you were to title this message, it would be called The Footprints of God. The first time you find his footprints would be going into the temple. Next time you find his footprints, he's headed out 17 miles out to Jerusalem in the Judean wilderness to find John, his cousin, who's baptizing in the River Jordan. Can you imagine what it would have been like to see the sandal footprints of Jesus? He's Emmanuel. He's God in the flesh. You would be looking at the footprints of God. He's walking. Here's what John said about him. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not the light, but came to bear witness of that light. This is that light that lights every man and that comes into the world, woman, boy, and girl. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But, conjunction,
yes, sir,
as many as received him.
Yeah.
Come on. You can pray the sinner's prayer, not receive him.
Right.
It can be a mental assent, but if it's not a heart issue, then we're off track, because it's the Holy Spirit that draws us into the knowledge. And Jesus said, no man comes to me except the Spirit draw him, and no man comes to the Father except by me. So you understand that our first great step is to believe.
Amen.
We're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. I'm about to shout now. This 68-year-old's about to be like a sprinter in here, and you understand that I just feel this inside. This life in me is greater than anything on the outside, because Jesus comes to live in us. Now, it goes on to, when you think about Jesus, at 30 years old, he's headed out to the Jordan River. He's there to see his cousin, who's dressed in camel's hair. The King James says he's got a leather girdle. Now, I don't know what that means, but I think the girdle of that time was to hold everything else together. It was like a belt. And his meat was locust and wild honey. He had one purpose. Jesus comes down. He's baptizing people who are coming in faith, baptizing them. This is the baptism of John, that the forerunner. He's the forerunner. And this is for the remission of sins. The when you look at the word remit, it means to push back. So he comes to John, and John says, I've got need to baptize you to baptize me. And Jesus said, let the scripture be fulfilled. Suffer it to be so now. And John baptizes Jesus. He comes up out of the water, and the Spirit, like a dove, didn't say it was a dove, said it was like a dove, settled down on him, and the voice from heaven. Here's a picture of the Trinity. The triune Godhead, the Father, Son, and Spirit, who loves you and wants to bring you into that perichoresis, that circle dance, that circle of celebration. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm delighted. I'm well pleased. Next time you look in the mirror, realize that Jesus, you are the righteousness of God. Do you understand the definition came to us that I've always heard righteousness is to be in right standing with God? And surely it is, but let me ask you something. Do you believe God is righteous?
Yes.
Who's he in right standing with? Do you understand righteousness means right relationship?
Yes.
It means to come into right relationship, which will give you right standing and it'll give you position. And you understand you can't grow in righteousness. You can grow in grace. You can grow in the knowledge of the Lord. But we are the Bible said, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Look at your neighbor and tell him, yes, you are. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what qualifies us for all the blessings of Abraham. Now hang with me. We're going somewhere. When I married this woman here 47 years ago, I'm telling you, I did married above my raisin. And I first met her, she was on the arm of another man. I mean, she was like 14. Yeah, he was a fill-in, right? Right, he was a fill-in. And it was a church function, but boy, it was one of those God things. And so I chased her for 4 years. And finally, after 4 years, she caught me. it's been an exciting journey. We have a lot of fun together. But you understand that Jesus has given us covenant. Jesus came to bring us into the covenant, this new covenant. And I want to show you. If you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it tells us about the new covenant, but also talks about the Holy Spirit. He talks about wherever, you remember the last part of that chapter says, toward the last of it, it says, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. That's kind of a poor translation. It means wherever the Holy Spirit is made Lord. There is freedom. Let me share it with you. Look at your neighbor and ask him, are you all right? Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yes, you are. Luke chapter 7. Jesus has just entered into ministry. And the beginning of that chapter talks about a centurion, a Roman soldier, who has a servant that he loves dearly, who is at the point of death. And he sends messengers to Jesus. Come and heal my servant because he's at the point of death. And Jesus is going his way. So the centurion also sent messengers and said, he said this, Master, don't bother to come to me in person, for I'm not good enough for you to enter my home. I'm not worthy enough to even come out to meet one like you. But if you would just speak the word of healing from right where you are, I know that my servant will be healed. I'm an ordinary man, yet I understand the power of authority, and I see that authority operating through you. I have soldiers under me who obey everything I command. I also have authorities over me whom I likewise obey. So, Master, just speak the word and healing will flow. This is one of two times where Jesus marveled at the faith of another. Because it said, he turned around and said to the crowd who'd followed him, listen, everyone, never have I found among the people of God a man like this who believes so strongly in me. Now, I want you to know this man was really respected by the Jewish people because he really honored them, and he even built them a meeting place. And they encouraged Jesus to help him and to heal his servant. So Then Jesus spoke the healing word from a distance. Yeah. I want to encourage you. Somebody said, we're just waiting for Jesus to come. Where is he going to come from? He's already here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Come on. You understand that? I understand what that means, but do you understand that he is in us? Colossians 3:1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, for Christ sits, for you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We're in union, perfect union with Father, Son, and Spirit. This love feast. It's amazing. He says, he spoke the word of healing from a distance. When the man's friends returned home, they found the servant completely healed and doing fine. So now he heads to the city of Nain, and I won't get into that story, but you remember he meets a funeral procession. He stops the procession, and the mother is weeping. And the Bible says that he so feels her grief that he says, please don't cry. And he walks up to when they buried people, they had him on the coffin. They had him on a stretcher, kind of suspended, and they carried him openly to the graveside. And Jesus touched the coffin and said, stop. He raised that boy from the dead, presented him to his mother, broke up that funeral. Let me tell you, he's going to break up every funeral.
Yes, sir.
He's going to break up the one that we were. You understand?
Yes.
We do those, and we, well, let me just not go on a rabbit trail. hang with me. John sends two of his disciples. He's been locked up by Herod because he reprimands him for taking another man's wife. So John's disciples report to him in prison, and when they actually go to Jesus, they report to him about the wonderful miracles and the works Jesus was doing. So John dispatched two of his disciples to go and inquire of Jesus. When they come before the master, they ask him, are you the coming Messiah? Now this is John, the one that baptized him. But John's in prison. He's dealing with what we all deal with. Those reservations, those doubts in our humanity, our weakness. He knows our weakness. He knows our struggle. He knows our pain. He knows our thoughts are far off, is what the scripture says. That doesn't change his love. You can find his footprints because he's been to Nain. Now he's hearing from the disciples of John, and they said, are you the coming Messiah we've been expecting? Or are we to continue to look for someone else? John the prophet was sent us to you to seek your answer without answering. I love this. Without answering their question, he turns around and he healed in the crowd many who had incurable diseases. His miracle power freed many from their suffering. He restored the gift of sight to the blind. He drove out demonic spirits from those who were tormented. And only then did Jesus answer the question. How many know that's quite a demonstration? I believe the Lord wants to give us a demonstration. I see it. I see it all the time. It's amazing. I'll have a story to tell. I love that song. I've got some stories. You've got some stories to tell. Even the moments we didn't think God was there, he was there the whole time. And if we believe Romans 8:28 that says, now we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose. If we believe that, then you have to latch on to verse 26 that the Spirit himself helps our weaknesses, for we don't know how to pray as we ought to. Come on, I never thought I had it all together. I said, Holy Spirit, teach me, lead me into the throne room, show me how to pray. Show me and pray for me. He makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now, I believe that Jesus is there to do the Father's will. Because he said, everything you hear me say, I've heard my Father say. And everything you see me do, I've seen my Father do it. So anything outside of Jesus that doesn't look, that I've perceived incorrectly about the Father is a violation. Because Jesus is the perfect theology. He's the perfect picture of what the Father is like. And the Bible said, those who were lepers were now cured. Those who were deaf are now hearing. Those who were dead are now brought back to life. The poor and the broken are given the hope of salvation. And tell John these words. I like this translation, Brother John. Because it said, the blessing of heaven comes upon those who never lose their faith, no matter what happens. Got me right here. Because how many times have you been going through stuff and you question? I have. I've been in those moments. I've been in those moments and I wondered. But I never let go. Better yet, he never lost his grip.
Amen.
And I knew he was always there. Here's the promise for you. Hebrews 13:5.
Yes.
I'll not fear what man shall do unto me, for he said, the Lord is my helper.
Yes.
For he will never leave me, and he will never forsake me. Now let me give you this picture. Oh, let me put that down. I know it's almost 12, but hang with me. I got an ocean to put in the thimble. Again. So when you think about Jesus and the Father being with us, I've learned something over the years. I never have to call him to come. I need to acknowledge that he's always with me. We're held together. Colossians says, for him and by him were all things created, and by him all things consist. That means he's the glue. He's the full power that holds us together. Jesus tells his disciples, he said, all of you going to leave me. But my Father will never leave me. He is always with me. Now let me ask you a question. Was Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Is that a contradiction? No, he's quoting from David. He's quoting the prophecy of David because it looks like the Father has left him, but he never left him. Because you got to go on and read the end. Because just before he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Come on, somebody, you understand the Father is with you. If you could look around you, you would see his footprints if he made footprints. But you understand that he's there with you no matter where you go because he loves you that much.
He does.
He's with me. No, he's not. He's not this. Let me ask you something. Do you think that Adam had the power to change God? Because we've been taught by religion that God was this loving, approachable, amazing creator before the fall. When the fall happened, God changed. He became angry. No, he didn't change. If you understand, hang with me, this is going to get good.
Yes, it is.
Adam's the one that took his little paintbrush and painted this mystic God that didn't exist. And he, that's why he hid from him, because he thought, I better find myself a hiding place because this God is retributive and he's looking for vengeance now. You understand, God was never looking for vengeance. He already knew before the foundation of the world that we would fall, and he made provision through his Son before the foundation of the world, crucified before the foundation of the world, because his love was to embrace us and draw us back and get us back to the intended place he always wanted us to be. Ooh, come on, somebody. I love to read the Bible, but you got to read the Bible.
Yes.
For God so loved the world. Hang with me. I know it's only three after. I got two more minutes, right? Give me two more. It's good. Tell John these words. The blessing of heaven comes on those who never lose their faith in me, no matter what happens. That's a pretty good encouraging word to tell a man who's in prison that's going to lose his life. But I believe it was enough because John was willing to go to the executioner for the cause of the gospel that he knew. Now, when you think about Jesus and you think about the places he went, he came to show us the Father's heart. I remember being in prayer for a long time, and I remember coming out. I felt like the Holy Spirit had said something to me. I felt like that he said, when you really get to know the Father's heart, you become unshakable. I was saved at 11 years old in a little Methodist church. I remember kneeling at that old oak altar, seeing the tear stains of those who'd been there before me. And I'll never forget, my intentions were good, but I didn't realize how God's hand was already on me at 11 years old. It's been a journey that I've had those ups and downs and those moments when I wanted to be a rebel. Come on. I sowed some seed and I prayed for God to cancel the harvest. I said, Lord, don't let that one come up. Come on, somebody. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because he's relentless. In his love, in his passion for us. Song of Solomon, he said, draw us and we'll run after you. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I can tell you, it's amazing that God will bring you into a place where you may have a need, but you have no lack. Come on, if you know the one who's got the key to the storehouse, can you really have any lack? He knows your needs before you ask him, so what Jesus said. But let me take you down this path real quickly. I may have 1 minute now, so. Psalm 34:10, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Here's the goodness of the Father. Psalm 84:11, the Lord is a sun and shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly before him. I struggle with that because I said, Lord, how in the world can I qualify? Because I can't get myself to the standard that I've seen of being righteous enough. He said, is it yours anyway? I said, no. He said, it's my righteousness. That qualifies you. Yes. Amen. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. He forgives me of all my iniquities. He heals me of all my diseases. He delivers my life from destruction and crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies and satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. You do understand that's not what you eat. That's not what you put in your mouth. That's what comes out of your mouth. And you understand that I'm blessed and highly favored because he said I was. And I agree with what he said. He said, I'm the redeemed of the Lord. And He said that because I have faith in His Son. And since He said that, I agree with what He said. I am that person who is blessed coming in and blessed going out. Christy, put a rug right there at the door when we come in, me and my wife. And it says, I'm blessed coming in. And then when we leave after a while, it's got one on the other side that I'm blessed going out. Come on, you understand that no matter where you are, the Lord has made provision for you to be blessed. And that's why I said, you just need to start declaring, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Renews my youth like the eagles. That's right. That's right. So you understand, worry and stress, anxiety is all meditating on life as if God does not exist. Don't allow that to invade your space. That's why He said, cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you're really something. The Father thinks that about you. He thinks you're really something. Matthew 7:11, if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more does the Heavenly Father know how to give good things to those who ask Him? I'm telling you, my daughter, all she has to say is, Daddy, can you? Yes.
Yes, sir.
Will you? Yes. Something about a daddy and daughter. I mean, I love my son, but he has to have a little more leverage than her sister, right? But you understand that the Father knows how to give good things to those who ask Him. Here's another one. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, who has started a good work in you will complete it. Oh, it's His work. Because Philippians 2:23 or 13, I don't know everything, some things. It says this, for the God is working in you because He's willing and to do His good pleasure.
Amen.
Finally, James 1:17. Every good gift, every perfect gift come from above, from the Father of lights. If we're the light of the world, He's your Father. Pater, the one who takes responsibility for you. With whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In an ever change, you know, I'm not shaken by the news. I don't believe a lot of it. Come on. I'm not shaken by it. Because I'm into that promise. He said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the adversary. Now, those are two different words for power. One is exousia, which is authority over power, the dunamis, the miracle working power, or the extraordinary power. I give you authority over that power. Over all the enemy, so that nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's awesome. I want you to stand with me. I hear Lucy. Yeah. She's saying amen. Yeah. Amen. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Embrace this relationship. There's an adventure that's connected. You know, I used to say, people would ask me how I'm doing. I said, I'm getting better all the time. You've heard me say that, I know. It kind of changed gears on me. He said, when they ask you how you're doing, just tell them I'm doing everything I can to keep the adventure going. I told somebody that the other day, and they didn't. It's like, yeah, right. Like Deborah's doctor, when I said, I'm getting better all the time, he said, I doubt it. I said, that's your problem. So don't let others affect the way you feel, the way you're concerned, and don't let others stop you from embracing this relationship and enjoying the adventure. So I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you because I believe that if you could see around your life, up until this moment, you would find his footprints. He's been there the whole time. He's been watching over you, even when it doesn't feel like it. I want to tell you that even when it doesn't feel like he's working, he is at work. That's right. He sits up and watches over you. Isaiah 40, 31, they that wait on the Lord. A few weeks ago, it was on Wednesday night, I got on my iPad a picture. I was down on the lake up in a slough, and I remember just meditating. It's kind of a nice day, but an eagle flew down and sat on the shore just 50 yards from where I was. Beautiful. I took pictures. There was a great blue heron sitting in the edge of the... He didn't stay long. That eagle was kind of eyeing him a little bit. He took off, and so I was headed in that direction, and before I got too close, the eagle took flight. I got pictures of his wings. It was amazing. And immediately, I felt like the Lord said, I just wanted you to remember that they that wait, that word wait doesn't really mean wait. It comes from another word that means to be braided. They that are braided with the Lord. They that are braided with the mind of the Father shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I haven't really sold out, but I want you to pray for me that I'll just come to a place of complete surrender. It's okay. We're family. If that's you, slip up your hand. Yeah, I see those hands. It's okay. He understands where you are. He's not going to kick you to the curb because you don't feel like you're there yet. No. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I want to know the power and the healing of God. Maybe you have emotional turmoil and worry and anxiety and all that's going on. Let me see it. Yeah. It's okay. He knows. So I want to pray for you in the next few moments. I want to pray that the Father reprograms, renews your mind, your heart, that there's a wholeness that comes, that you begin to see yourself as He sees you. I can't tell you how many times that I always felt like God must be really disgusted with me. That was wrong. Nothing takes him by surprise. He sees my thoughts afar off.
Yes.
But you understand there's wholeness and healing and recovery and forgiveness. A metanoia, a radical change in the way I think. So I'll begin to see him. Not like Adam did. Like Peter did when he swam to the shore. After he denied him three times, he swam to the shore to meet Jesus. Knowing he'd messed up, Jesus made him whole. So he wants to do that for you today. I believe he can do it right there. I want you to just join with the person next to you in agreement right now, wherever you are. Just join someone in agreement. Father, we thank you. We agree with what you said, Lord. That Jesus, you bore our sins in your own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live into righteousness. And we know sin is a violation of the will of the Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, that we agree with you through your Son Jesus, that we are the redeemed of the Lord. That you bore our sins in your body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live into righteousness. And by your stripes, we were healed. so we receive healing. And Lord, you promised us in the scripture, Deuteronomy 28, you said, it shall come to pass that my word, when you hearken to my words, that I'll command the blessing and it will overtake you and you will be blessed coming in and blessed going out with the blessing of Abraham. So Father, right now I pray that the blessing that Jesus died to give us and continue in our lives would come, Lord, to fruition and come complete in our hearts. Bring wholeness and healing to everyone in this room, Father, who's emotionally wounded or scarred. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that you would bring wholeness to our thoughts. Heal our thoughts, Lord. Help us to see ourselves, God, as you see us, as the beloved. Help us to see ourselves as the beloved because you are good and we are your beloved. I thank you, Lord, in advance. I give you praise for wholeness and healing. I feel the Lord in this room. Somebody's getting the breakthrough right now. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. We trust you and we lift up the name of Jesus and honor you because we know you do all things well. We thank you, Father, for peace. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Somebody's been restless at night. You haven't been able to sleep. I want to tell you, God's about to give you sleep because you're his beloved. You're his beloved. He's about to give you sleep. Some of you have wrestled with self-esteem. You didn't feel like you measure up. I'm here to tell you God's about to let you see yourself as he sees you, as accepted in the beloved. There's nothing you have to do to measure up. You already measure up because you're created in his image. And you come in respect to him because he loves you deeply. God is moving in this room right now. In the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory. We receive it in the name of Jesus. We receive it. Thank you, Lord, that your house doesn't... Sing that song. Sing that. You don't... that's okay, yeah.
I'll sing.
Yeah. I want you to take a moment and just worship the Lord for what he's done. Would you do that? Father, we thank you for this opportunity. I speak life and peace and blessing. Help and hope and faith in Jesus' name. We give you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. God